Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your path. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process that I call Diaprax, which is to practice the leaning to your own understanding. It's absolutely the opposite of trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Now, there's the perception that you might be trusting in the Lord with all your heart, but if you're leaning to your own understanding, that's not the case. And that's the deception of the dialectical process. It is to base reality and life upon our feelings and our thought and to negate God's authority. Now, the problem with all this, as wolves in sheepskin, the scriptures, as Jesus described, those who practice the dialectic in the religious realm, we all carry this nature, this deception, not only within ourselves, but the deception of others. And that's the laws of the flesh that we can justify. Now, the last few programs, I've been covering a writer, a social engineer of the 60s, Norman O. Brown, his book Life Against Death, and we've been covering the dialectical process. So I want to move along now and cover a lot of his quotes from that book. This is one of the Bibles of the 60s. We're now living as a culture what was simply written in books back in the 60s. Now it's become a way of life. And the opening quote that I had in regards to Norman O. Brown, the merging of Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx. Now, most people didn't understand that psychology, psychoanalysis, is built on the dialectical process. And this is not just some intellectual exercise, folks. This is a process that's practiced in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. You could say it is Satan's Genesis project. And what that procedure is to move a person into their suppressed, remember Freud, the subconscious, their suppressed nature. And why was it suppressed? Because some authority, some author, interfered with that person or that child relating with the world. And that interference then produced what's called neurosis. And the end result then is this tension between what a person does and what they desire to do. Now, you know there can be a difference. And the reason the person behaves in a particular way is because of standards that he has been trained to adhere to that interfere with what he naturally, subconsciously wants to do. And the Bible calls that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And it's not lust, see, lust of the flesh, unless there's a higher authority that says what you're doing in the flesh is wrong. Therefore, if there is no higher authority, if it's simply man as the measure of all things, lust is negated. And as I spent the whole program, the first presentation of Norman O. Brown, he says on this quote, he says, by dialectical, I mean an activity of consciousness struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the formal logical law of contradiction. And the last part, formal logical law of contradiction, is simply God saying to Adam, you cannot eat of this tree. You can eat of all the other trees, but this tree, and he describes it, tree of knowledge, good and evil. But the command is, if you eat of it, you will die. Do not, cannot, must not, thou shalt not is the command. It's the law. And whether it makes any sense or not to Adam, it's the command that he must obey. Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. He was obedient to his Father, even to death. When it didn't even, if you look at the natural through the natural eyes. Mark said we must have eyes that are human eyes and ears that are human ears. If Jesus had looked through human eyes and human ears at his Father's command, he wouldn't have done it. He would have justified that there could have been another way because he actually said, can there be another way? But he didn't lean to his own understanding. He was obedient to his Father in all things. That's a patriarchal paradigm. And then he's called you and me to live according to that same paradigm, which is simply obedience to his Father. He who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. He who lives a patriarchal paradigm, in other words, what dad says goes. Now, with man, there's a problem, because dad and mom aren't perfect. But the office is. And the trickery of the dialectic was this formal, in other words, there's right and wrong, and there's no in-between. It's logical. If you knew the law, it's not just the laws of the flesh, and Paul talks about the law of the flesh, it is also God's law. If you understood what God is saying in his law is that you are not God. You are the created. You are not the creator. And if you then focus on informal, because that's the dialogue today. How do you feel and what do you think? And that negates formal and negates logical, because now we can call it theory. Well, what do you think? Theory is not logic. Theory is an opinion. And if we turn to our opinions, then we lose everything that is bound to truth. There are no lasting truths for all times and all places. In fact, Karl Marx says, in the eyes of the dialectical philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. So the purpose of the dialectic is to negate the formal logical law of contradiction, which is God. He's formal. He loves you and he loves me, but he's not going to go around his law. His law is set. I am that I am. He doesn't change for us. We change. We must repent in accordance to his law. And his law is descriptive of who he is. And to be like him, it's not that we can justify it. It is that it is his law. And therefore, we must fulfill his law. But the moment we lean to our own understanding, we no longer fulfill his law. And his law simply reveals our flesh, our fleshy nature, the laws of the flesh. That's what Paul was talking about. And it's the body of death. We live within this body of death. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you reject the kingdom of God, remember, Satan brought the kingdoms of the world. The new world order is what only, it's the only thing that Satan could bring to Jesus, was this new world order. We're seeing Satan's domain. The Antichrist will rule over the world. And that's all that the world can offer Christ. And it's not of God. Jesus said, flesh and blood. See, my kingdom is not of this world. And so God's word is formal. It is logical. You notice the whole emphasis, we've got to make the word of God understandable to this generation. Well, the word of God is spiritual. It is not temporally understood. Flesh and blood cannot understand. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. Until a person, as Jesus took a child and set that child before him, which meant the child had to accept somebody's control over their life and humble themselves. That's what Jesus said. Until you humble yourself as his child and are converted. In other words, you have to accept the authority's command. Do what I tell you to do, and don't worry about you getting anything out of it. You know, when my dad told me to go move the irrigation pipe, I went and I did it. It wasn't because I thought, well, I'll get this or something else out of it. I mean, on a farm, just getting a meal was it. You know, that's it wasn't a thing for pay. Today it is. You better expect to get some pay. You know, dad, you know, how much are you going to pay me to move those pipes? Well, back in my day, you wouldn't say that to dad because it was formal. Did that mean he didn't love me? No, but his love was with his law. And God loves you, and he loves me, but he loves his law. And so to fulfill his law, you can't do it. So how do you get God's love? Jesus fulfilled the law. God, the Father, loved the world so much that he sent his Son, that whosoever believes on his Son, that he was sent by the Father, see, It's not, and I don't take me wrong here, it's not that Jesus came because he loved us, he does, but he came because he loved the Father. He was obedient to the Father. It's your obedience to the Father that the Father's love is demonstrated in your life. They're one and the same. But, and that's a formal, and it's logical. Once you understand it, if you take a logic class at first, it doesn't make any sense. But then you go through the law. See, it's the law of God. And you look at the law of God, and it says, you're wicked. That's all the law of God can do. That's all the law says of the law of the flesh. And you come in, and I come into this world with nothing but the law of the flesh. Oh, we also have faith. Because you couldn't accept the law of God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And so we come, every child comes into this world with a measure of faith. But you notice that Jesus said, when he returns, will there be faith? And the answer, the understood answer is no. There will be a remnant, but there will not be a faith. Why? Because we lean to our own understanding. If you lean to your own understanding, you cannot trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, you've heard me say this over and over. That is the basis of the emergent church, church growth. It's all dialectic, not trusting in the Lord with all their heart, or they would love the Word of God. They would preach and teach, but no, they dialogue. Dialogue is the opinion. Dialogue carries your flesh. Dialogue carries how you feel. That's your flesh, your sensuousness, and what you think. That's your sense perception. Well, I think this, I think that. It's an opinion. Well, the Word of God is not by men's opinion. So therefore, we have today an apostate church, which is the sanctioned church, the recognized church by the government. And you have to understand, in the Roman form of government, there was never any law to outlaw Christianity. You won't find it in the books, but you will find executive orders from leaders who censored the true church. And it always comes about by the apostate church. Those who want the respect of men. Because what is the respect of men? Well, it's how you feel and how somebody feels about you. If somebody has something to gain from you, that's respect of men. They will respect you if they can gain something from you. Because that's your natural behavior as well. Your the laws of the flesh. The laws of the flesh is you hang around with people that you like. Why do you like them? Because they give you something. They give you a feeling. They might compliment you. They make you feel good. You don't go hang around with people who make you feel bad. Isn't this why you can't market the Word of God? You know, the church is out there marketing. Experience God. No. Know Him. It's not about experience. Experience is our natural fleshy desire is to approach pleasure. And so if you want to go to church to experience God, you want His pleasure. Let me tell you something. God is a consuming fire. And you will experience His wrath if you truly seek Him. And, oh, let me modify that. Because, see, the wrath of God is on the children of disobedience. And therefore, you will know His wrath is upon you until you humble yourself, deny yourself. And when you do that, if you have any part of you saying, what can I get out of this for me? You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. You're a liar. Because when you're repenting before God, you stop talking. You stop talking to yourself. You stop talking to God on any sense of justification. You have nothing in your life. There is nothing on the face of the earth that can justify and defend yourself from God's wrath upon you. You're a worm. You're less than a worm. You're ready for eternal damnation. Until you understand that, you will not understand God's mercy and grace, and you will not understand trusting in the Lord with all your heart. But that's not the message today. No, the message is, how do you feel and what do you think? As Tim Clem, a friend of mine, he said, we have a new Bible. Go we therefore and take polls and surveys. Now it's about how everybody feels and what they think. No, the Word of God is formal. There's heaven and hell. It's contrast. Right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. Above, below. I'm from above, you're from below. My ways are not your ways. It's logical. To God's logic. Because God's logic starts with the law. The law is perfect. See, logic, when you study it, it's perfect. You've arrived. God's law, when you study it, you've arrived. And what it says is you're wicked. It cannot save you. Even Paul says, with my mind, I love the law of God. But he understood it could not save him. It's a tutor to reveal to him his wickedness of his dialectical mind, leaning to his own understanding, trusting in the laws of the flesh, trusting in the body of death. And the only solution is Jesus Christ. And so it's a law of contradiction. And the dialectic then is, I mean, he says, Norman O'Brown, an activity, a praxis, a thinking, not just thinking or in a feeling, but not just feeling, it's also an acting. You've got to demonstrate, you've got to perform this consciousness that now you're aware that there is a law above you that has no meaning. It interferes with your informal Spontaneous, see, spontaneity is always interfered with by rules. And so today we have a culture of imagination. Well, see, God said that nothing will be impossible to their imagination. Anything they imagine will be possible. Well, is that true? Well, in their perception, it's true. Because they're deceived. There's a strong delusion in this nation because now we have the language of Genesis 3, 1 through 6. How do you feel? Well, I ought to be able to touch it. What do you think? There's nothing wrong with the tree. And folks, the truth is there was nothing wrong physiologically, earthy-wise, fleshiness. There was nothing wrong materialistically with the tree. If you're a scientist, that's all you got to work with is material. You know, rocks and plants and dust and minerals and particles and elements and everything in the creation, that's true science. Paul says avoid, in 1 Timothy 6:20, avoid the oppositions of so-called science, pseudonomosnosis. What's so-called science? It's taking man, that which God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of, and treating it like behavioral science. All you're going to end up with is a standard of the law of the flesh. That's all you've got to work with. There is no such thing as a Christian psychologist, because a true Christian has to begin with the law of God, which condemns the flesh. And you can't go beyond that, because then it's God's work. Jesus' righteousness is imputed to you. You cannot earn it, period. You cannot earn God's love. He loves you. He sent his son. His son died in obedience to the Father, patriarch. You must be obedience to the Father, and therein God's love is brought into your life, his mercy and grace. So when you look at his law, now you understand how wicked you are, always, till the day you die. Your flesh is wicked. And you must bring it under subjection by God's work in your life. It's his work in your life. It's his work of the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, which means his working his will out through your life as you continually seek him. Lord, what do you want me to do here today? Not, Lord, what can you give me today? What do you want out of my life today? Guide and direct me. No longer what I think, no longer how I feel, but thy will be done. That, in biblical understanding, is formal, logical, law of contradiction, bathed in the laws of God and in the love of God. But the dialectic is to consciously struggle, in other words, become self-aware. Eve became consciously aware of her feelings. I ought to be able to touch the tree. And then struggled to circumvent. How did she circumvent the law of God? By looking at the environment and finding out there was nothing wrong with the environment. And by doing that through human reasoning, leaning to your own understanding, all she can work with, by the way, is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. But if you can justify it, if you can justify relationship with this world, if you can justify whatever you're doing, people today in the church, they will say, well, you know, he was more right than wrong. You know, Rick Warren is more right than wrong. I got a lot of stuff out of that book, you know, Purpose Driven Life. I say, you know what that's comparable to? It's like a doctor who came out of the operating room and came to you. Your loving child was in there, being serious accident. And the doctor comes out and he says, I'm sorry, but we could not save your child. You know, I'm really grieved with you, but we couldn't save. Sorry. And as he's leaving, then he turns around and he says, oh, by the way, I want you to know that what we did in there was more right than wrong. Do you understand what that phrase means? You, the moment you hear that from a godly, quote unquote, man, you're listening to an apostate, because that's all Eve was doing. She was looking at the tree. It was more right than wrong. It was all right. In fact, if the flesh was a foundation, if you're leaning to your understanding is your foundation in life, you're absolutely right. She was right. It was good for food. It was pleasing to the eyes. And it was desirous to make one wise in that you can solve your own problems for yourself. You can evaluate the things in this life and come up with the best solution for mankind. Absolutely right. Right, 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 right. But it's right in the flesh. But flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Leaning to your own understanding is a curse. It's not a blessing. Not many mighty or noble are called. Why? Because they didn't trust in the Lord with all their heart. But instead, they lean to their own understanding. And that's all the dialectic is. It's not to say that God's wrong. It's to say God's irrelevant. Isn't that what the church has done today? The moment you're in a Bible study and somebody asks you how you feel and what you think, the Word of God is irrelevant. This is harsh, hard to say, because people say, well, you're just closed-minded. Let me tell you something. God is closed-minded. On a day of judgment, you're going to meet a closed-minded God. It's my way versus your way. It's my way, which is eternal life, and it's your way, which is eternal death. Welcome to the world of gnashing of teeth for eternity. And you got a new body, so you won't need a dentist to repair your teeth. Do you think that's hate? No, God is holy and pure and righteous. If God's not holy and pure and righteous, then that'd be hate. But God is holy and pure and righteous, and everything he does is perfect. And if you look at his law and you say, okay, I'm going to be like God. I can evaluate. I can decide for myself what's good and what's bad. And then you look at his law, and his law says, no, you're wicked. And you say, no, wait a minute. You know, maybe we ought to put those laws aside, because now we have God's mercy and grace. But see, if a judge tells you, you know, today I'm going to have mercy on you, and he doesn't recognize the law. If there is no law, how can he have mercy? And why would a judge have mercy on you? The only reason he would, a true, honest judge, would have mercy on you is because you change your heart. You realize how important the law of God is. And the church has rejected the law of God. The apostate church hates the law of God. No different than the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, they give lip service to it. But always in their heart is, what can I get out of this for me? How can I even quote the law of God and get people's approval for me? No, the law of God condemns you. You are wicked, 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 and will spend eternity in hell if you look at the law of God and you're not broken. And that's why the scribes and Pharisees looked at it, and in their righteousness, they changed it. And today, in man's righteousness, leaning to their own understanding, you're in a church that takes a poll and survey. You know, these faith-based so-called ministries, they say, oh, we want to do these, let's find out, we're going to have tithing, and we're going to have a little poll here, and how much do you make a year so we can project, a building project for them to this next year. We want to look at our budget. We want to develop this budget program so we can do great things for Jesus. That is not faith. That is not trusting the Lord. That is a liar. That's a son of the devil speaking to you. Oh, wait a minute. He preaches a good sermon. No, his paradigm is dialectical. His paradigm is a heresiarchal, which is change. It's not trusting in the Lord. It's leaning to their own understanding. And they're practicing the dialectical process. And the seduction is the Christians out there. And I have to be careful, because there's believers and there's Christians. Because Christian is a broad term. You know, the Soviet system had no problem with Christians. The Antichrist will have no problem with Christians. He has a problem with believers. Believers in the Word of God. See, when I have ministers come from the church growth to meetings, they will always argue. And they never go to the Word of God. They are not in love with the Word of God. They'll do everything possible to get away from the Word of God. They'll always be interested in your opinion of the Word of God. How do you feel? What do you think? Always to entrap you in how you feel and what you think, because they hate the Word of God. If they loved the Word of God, they would, just like Paul says, with my mind, I love the law of God. Why? Because every time they would want to look at the Word of God, because they realize how wicked they are and how righteous God is, and his love for them through the blood of the Lamb redeemed them from their wickedness. But that's not their message. It's not the blood of the Lamb. It's not the law of God, which you cannot have the gospel without. To them, it's just God's mercy and grace. And they're hypocrites. They're liars, because they practice this consciousness, and it's a struggle. They spend time trying to figure out how they can seduce the bride of Christ into participation, so they can put that bride on the market street, so they can sell her like a prostitute. They can pimp over the bride of Christ. And let me tell you something, when God gets a hold of those men, you know, Hitler, what Hitler did will not compare, and how God responds to Hitler will not compare to how God would respond to these men who claim to be men of God, who sell and try to sell his bride on a street corner. So that, and on this whole thing, what can I get out of this for me in the name of Jesus? Well, I got away a little bit from the subject, but let's go to Norman O. Brown. He writes, in the last presentation I covered this, he stated, what the child knows consciously and the adult unconsciously, as they were nothing but body. Now, this was Sigmund Freud, okay? For those out there who claim to be Christian psychologists, here is your foundation. You can have no other foundation if you're a psychoanalyst. This is, if you're into counseling today, even in a church, this is your foundation. The child knows consciously, in other words, he is aware, and the adult unconsciously, they're nothing but body. You say, oh no, we preach the gospel. No, you're a liar, because that's the foundation of psychology. You can't mingle anything with this. Oh, we can put the gospel in there. Satan knows scripture. And so the child is conscious of him chasing the flesh. You give him a little marker and he's, you know, give a little piece of paper and he's writing there. It's 5 seconds and he's running out, you know, nanoseconds, and he's out of dopamine. He's out of pleasure on that paper. He looks to the wall and he's running to the wall for dopamine heaven. He's looking for pleasure. The whole body is designed for pleasure. And so the child knows consciously he's just chasing after this pleasure. And a parent comes in like God and says, no, you cannot eat of this tree. You cannot write on the wall. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. And there, and the child accepts that. And so that consciousness of pleasure is suppressed. They're in their subconscious now. The id is suppressed. And they develop a superego, according to Freud. Why did he use superego instead of conscience? Because the conscience holds you to the voice above. The superego is now changeable to the voice of the flesh. And he had to use a language that would pull you in to the dialectical process. And he says the child knows nothing but the body. That's the child. So when they say to you, oh, we want the child from within you to come out, that's the laws of the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You're drawn away by, and you need the enticer. So if you're a Christian psychologist, your foundation is enticement of the flesh to justify the flesh. You have no other calling. And you can do it in the name of Jesus and get great pay and kudos and, oh, you did a wonderful job for my child today. But it's not of God. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Well, continue after these messages.